We'll be looking at two passages tonight, and I've already read the chapters from which these verses come. That's Genesis 1 and Matthew 19. So you may wish to go ahead and turn there. We are engaged in a study on the topic, exactly as I show you. Those words come from Exodus chapter 25, verse 29, where the Lord instructed Moses and the children of Israel to build the tabernacle according to the pattern he ordained. Exactly as I show you, he said, concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so shall you make it. It is important that we seek the mind of God, that we do what he says, and that we do it in the way he says. How do we determine what God wants? Where do we go to find out his will for us? We go to Scripture. It is to the law and the testimony we seek to abide by what saith the Scriptures. What saith the Lord in the Scriptures? With that in mind, we're taking up a few matters that are widespread in our culture and then sadly, in many cases, have even entered our churches. And we're trying to examine them in the light of God's Word. And tonight we're going to look at an issue that has arisen in our culture, which is looked upon favorably by our leaders, by the media, and by big corporations who put their name behind these things. And it is an issue which many churches have become silent on. And I'm referring to the issue of gender, and in particular, what is called transgenderism. Many people are suffering what is termed gender dysphoria. That is, they feel that the body they have doesn't fit with their identity, what they feel they are. Now, we believe in both general and special revelation, and both of these forms of revelation speak to this subject. General revelation is what God reveals through creation. General revelation is open for all to see. We look up to the skies. We look out to the things about us. We even look at our bodies and how they function, and we see the design of God. And even atheists, people who deny the existence of God, can see that there are only two sexes. But our culture now uses the word gender instead of sex, and I think that's to shift it from biology to sociology. And they tell us that there are many genders. And so our culture has embraced gender fluidity. You can move from one gender to another, and there are many options according to this line of thinking. Some of you may have seen a video that was posted on social media some weeks or a month or two ago of a girl. She was either a teenager, maybe 20, 21. She was surrounded by her friends, and she made her statement publicly. She said, "I have something I want to tell you." And then she said, "I'm a boy." And her friends came and hugged her and loved her and patted her on the back and affirmed her self-identity. But she's not a boy. She's a girl. But she's very confused. And she needs help, not affirmation. So gender or general revelation, if you don't even believe the Bible, y'all believe in two sexes, male and female. Because that's what we see. That's what biology says. But special revelation speaks on this issue as well. And special revelation is God's unique revelation in Scripture. And we believe the Bible is the inspired record of what God spoke through men who wrote what God wanted them to write. I love those little memes where somebody says, "Lord, speak to me." and a Bible drops down out of heaven. He has spoken to us. He has given us His Word. And Scripture is God-breathed. And therefore, inerrant, authoritative, and sufficient. And the Bible speaks loudly and clearly about God's creation of two sexes. Male and female created He them. And contrary to what some pastors have said in recent years, God does not whisper about sexual sins. I wouldn't call God raining down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah whispering. It was an act of judgment. So both general and special revelation draw a clear distinction between men and women, between male and female. But our concern as Christians is primarily what the Bible says. So we're going to examine two passages of Scripture tonight that will clarify the truth as it is according to the divine will on this subject. Now, before we go to the Word, let me set the stage for our study. We hear people describing themselves today as trans men, trans women. What does that mean? Trans men are women who are biologically male, but they say they're men. Trans women are men who are biologically men, but they say they are women. And what do Christians say about that? We say there's no such thing. Trans men are not men. Trans women are not women. And if we say that there is such a thing as trans men, trans women, we might as well say 2 + 2 = 5. It's not true. There are men and there are women. There are boys and there are girls. There's no such thing as trans men, trans women. If words mean anything, a man is a biological male and a woman is a biological woman. A woman is a biological female. But in the culture of Western society today, we've decided we can choose our gender if we want to, that we can switch things around so we can be whoever we think we are. So we're governed by feelings, not by facts and truth. Because of this gender dysphoria, instead of telling people who think this way that they are confused and in denial and need help, people are comforting them and supporting them and accepting a lie about themselves. Our culture has embraced insanity. Things are taking place now that we could not have dreamed would have taken place just 10 or 15 years ago. And this is called good and acceptable. Now, here are some examples of how this is working out in our world. Take athletics. There are now what's called trans athletes. Now, it usually only goes one way. I don't know of any women in sports who say they're men and are competing. It's all men, right, who are competing as women. There are lots of men who say they're women competing in women's sports and winning. Wrestling, running, what others? Weightlifting. I'm going to come to that one. Various sports. Ladies, if you are involved in athletics, wouldn't that disturb you if you were the best female in your sport only to be beat out by someone who's a male but says he's a woman? and everybody praise them and say it's wonderful? Recent case is this man from New Zealand who won a weightlifting match and will now be competing in the Olympic Games. He calls himself Laurel. The news reports refer to him as a she or a her, but that perpetuates a lie. He recently said on CBS News, "I just want to be me and be who I am." He means by that, be who I think I am. Be who I've convinced myself that I am. But he isn't a woman. He's a she. He's a he. And no amount of verbalization can alter that. No amount of hormone therapy and drugs can change that. No surgery can alter that. He may say he's a man. He may take hormone therapy. He may mutilate his body. But in the end, he will still be a man. And throughout the world of sports, men are winning competitions under the guise of being a woman. And it ought not to be allowed. It's a farce. It's a lie. It's hurting real women who want to compete in their sports. Trans women should be ruled ineligible. A biological woman should be allowed to participate in women's sports. And when men are allowed under the guise of being a woman, they take away the element of fair play. Gender dysphoria has entered our lives in other ways. We know this in the political world. The Assistant Secretary of Health is a man who regards himself as a woman. His real name is Richard, but he calls himself Rachel now. It's ironic, isn't it, that he's a doctor. He's in the scientific field, but he's adopted a lifestyle that is unscientific. He isn't a woman. He's a man who identifies as a woman. But we're supposed to recognize him as what he says he is. It's like the emperor who had no clothes on. And everybody just railed at how wonderful things were. And until some little kid pointed it out. And people are just jumping on board with this. It's all around us, isn't it? It's coming closer and closer. Many of you, if you're not already working with people who are confused about their sexual identity, you will be. And we may have a man who thinks he's a woman come to our church someday. I hope we will welcome such a person when they come because they need the gospel. But I hope we will not affirm their sinful choice. You can be assured in this church that if a biological male tries to enter the ladies' room, it will not be allowed. Our security men are already alert unto that. We have a single restroom, and whoever wishes to use that can, but a man's not going in the ladies' room here in this church. But let's turn our thoughts to Scripture. What does the Bible say about this issue? And does what it say, is it clear? Can we apply Exodus 25:9 exactly as I show you to this problem? And the answer is yes, we can. The Bible is clear. Nature is clear cut as well, but so are the Scriptures, and that's what we'll consider. Now, I've been helped immensely in my understanding on this subject by the writings of Owen Strahan. He's written a number of articles and good books. And one in particular, he is co-authored by him and Gavin Peacock. He was a footballer in England, great athlete, and he's a pastor now, a preacher. And they've written a number of books together on gender issues, homosexuality, lust, and one on transgenderism. What does the Bible teach about transgenderism? And so that's been very helpful to me in studying this subject. But we're going to turn to two passages of Scripture tonight. We're going to see what the book of Genesis says about these genders and what the Lord Jesus said about them as well. So the book of Genesis is where we'll start, and it declares that there are only two sexes. I'm going to use the word sex and gender interchangeably, though they're not really. One's a social construct. The other is biological. But we read in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image." In the previous verse, he said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Two words, image and likeness. But here, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The sixth day of creation is being referenced here. It's the day God created man. Man is the pinnacle of God's creative work. He created man after he created everything else. So the crown of his handiwork is human life. Man is not an animal. Man is different from an animal. Man is made in the image of God. Human life is spoken of in this manner only. It's not said of plants. It's not said of sea creatures. It's not said of the birds. It's not said of the animals. It is said only of man. Man is unique. And with man, the Lord didn't say, "Let there be." He didn't say, "Let the earth bring forth." Rather, he said, "Let us make." The triune God formed and fashioned human life uniquely and distinctly. Henry Morris says that man is qualitatively distinct, something not possessed in any degree by the animals. So man alone is created in the image of God. But what does it mean to be created in the image of God? Well, we have two words here, image and likeness. That means similar, but not identical. It means representative, but not equal. Wayne Grudem says the fact that man is in the image of God means that man is like God and represents God. And it is this likeness that completely distinguishes humankind from the animal kingdom. But the point we're most concerned with now is the creation of mankind in two sexes. So God created man his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. He created them. We learn from chapter 2 of Genesis that God first created the man, and then out of him, the female was created. He called, was called man, and she was called a woman. He was named Adam. She was named Eve. They were actual historical people. The first man and woman created by the direct act of God. I began to looking in this passage this week just to see if pronouns were used. And they are. The man is referred to in verse 18 and 21 in chapter 2 as he and him. And the female in verses 22 and 23 is referred to as she and her. Now, that's an important thing because people in our day and age now want to choose their own pronouns. Are you aware of that? We are vacating language and taking meaning completely away. People who are transgender now don't want to be called he, him, she, her. They say, "Just call me they or them." Use a plural pronoun to refer to a singular person. That's just sweeping grammar and language under the rug. And even new pronouns have been invented. I remember a few years ago, someone at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville gave a list of pronouns that some people want to be referred to. Here are the most popular, Z-E, or H-I-R, here, or H-I-R-S, here's. These are common, gender-inclusive pronouns that people are choosing for themselves. And if you go on Twitter in particular and look at some people at their profile, they will have what their pronouns are. You got to know these days. Am I supposed to call him, or her, she, or him, he or him, her, she, or something else? Do we just call them there? T-H-E-I-R? Do we just refer to them as them, a single person? That's what they're asking us to do. God's Word says, God created male and female. We are described by our sexuality. Every person that has come into this world since the creation of Adam and Eve, we've come into the world through procreation. We've either been male or female. That's not changed. Our bodies tell us whether we're male or female. And that is by God's design, to embrace another identity that denies the reality of our bodies is contrary to how God made us. So there are two sexes. Healthline.com says there are 64 genders. But all that's made up. LGBTQ+. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, polygender, gender fluid, gender questioning, multigender, pansgender, transitioning, and many, many more. And we as Christians must be honest about this. We must be upfront about this. The Scriptures forbid what some call gender bending. If we try to be anything other than what God has made us biologically, we sin against Him. It is the psalmist. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. And how did He make us? Male and female created He them. The person who feels that they're trapped in the wrong body needs help. I've seen the meme where the guy says, yes, I was once trapped in a woman's body, but she gave birth to me. That's about the only way a man can be trapped and be a woman. Not be a woman, but come from a woman. But gender fluidity, we can be what we want to be. I think people who do this, the girl in the video, I'm a boy. I think she wants affirmation. She wants acceptance. She wants recognition. Possibly that some of these people could be mentally ill. Either way, they need to be told the truth and they need to repent. They need to hear what God's Word says. The Bible. Owen Strahan says it's holy, true, holy, good, holy, sufficient. And so if we search the Scriptures, we'll find what is stated in Genesis about God creating male and female. That divine design holds all the way through the Bible. And it never changes. Where did we come from? God created us. Adam didn't have any prior ancestors. We are not derived from apes. We were specially created by God. We didn't evolve. How did He create us? male and female. He created us that way. We're not here by randomness, by happenstance, by luck. Our identity is fixed. And nothing can alter that. We can't reprogram ourselves and think we're something that we're not. We can't change God's design. We shouldn't want to change it. We're to acknowledge that God created us as He wants us to be, and we should submit to that and find our joy in that. Here's what Owen Strahan says. There are men and women in the world because God desired that two sexes would bear His image and glorify His name together. By extension, we cannot fail to identify unique value, worth, and dignity in maleness and femaleness. God loves each. God made each. God specifically designed each to display in dazzling form His wisdom and creativity. We know, don't we, that the existence of the human race depends on men and women following God's created order. You look at the next verse here, verse 28, God commanded the man and the woman to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth. Only men can be fathers. Only women can be mothers. Each has a body fitted to that role. Each is built mentally and spiritually to be either man, husband, father, or woman, wife, mother. And men and women complement one another in creation. There's no greater joy than to live as God made us and serve Him according to His design. You may wish you were a cowboy instead of an engineer. You may wish you were a deep sea diver instead of a clerk at the store. But why would you wish you were a man if you were a woman? Why would you wish you were a woman if you were a man? That's the denial of God's creative order. Well, what happened in the world? Genesis 3, right? The fall. Sin came into the world, and the image of God in man was marred. And sin will make us reject the created order. Sin will cause us to reject the Creator. Sin puts our desires first, and that leads many people into infidelity, homosexuality, gender dysphoria. We must turn from the godless culture of the age and look to the Scriptures to guide us in sexuality. What man needs is salvation. Conversion. We need spiritual awakening so we can see our need, our sin, and God's judgment upon it. And see that He sent His Son to save us. We can be reconciled to this holy God through His Son whom He sent into the world. The one who kept the law at every point and then suffered the penalty of the law so we could be saved. And the gospel calls us to repent of our sins and believe in Him who died and rose again. Let's remember that gender, if we use that word, was chosen by God. We are what we are by God's creative power. We don't choose our gender. We don't choose our sex. God does. That's why it is foolish for parents to let their children choose what gender they want to be. That choice has already been made. And God made that choice. And we teach our children that God made boys and girls, men and women. And let us receive that and live our lives according to His beautiful truth. Well, let's turn from Genesis now and go to the book of Matthew, chapter that I read earlier, Matthew chapter 19. Here we learn that the Lord Jesus affirmed exactly what Genesis affirmed, that there are two sexes. Verse 4, he said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" That statement is followed. This statement followed a question that was put to Jesus. Verse 3, the Pharisees asked the question, "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" And we know why they answered the question. This was a test. They were trying to trap him in his words. They weren't looking for information. They were looking for something for the purpose of defamation. They wanted to entangle him in a dispute that would get him in trouble with people. So ever how Jesus answered the question that was put to him about divorce, they thought was bound to get him in trouble with someone. But how did Jesus answer that question? He responded with a counter question. He asked them what the rule was about marriage from the beginning when God created man and woman. So Jesus took his inquirers back to the book of Genesis. And he quoted two passages from Genesis. The first is found in verse 4 here. It's not actually a direct quotation, but it is an appeal based on the verse we just looked at, Genesis 1:27. Here Jesus said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" So taking them back to Genesis, he was directing them to consider the initial will and purpose of God. And so we learn from Jesus that our sexuality is determined by the divine will. The second part of his answer is found in verse 5. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That is a quotation of Genesis 2, verse 24. God ordained that the man and the woman would become husband and wife, that they would be permanently joined together. From the beginning, no provisions were made for divorce because marriage is not a casual union that can be set aside. The blueprint for marriage is spelled out in Genesis. Now, Jesus went on after being asked another question and said it was under Moses that an allowance was made for divorce because of the hardness of their hearts. But God's original plan was that a man and a woman would be joined together in the bonds of holy matrimony. Now, our concern tonight is not the subject of divorce and remarriage. It's the subject of sex and gender. But my point is that Jesus believed the creation account. There are people today who say that Jesus never spoke on the issue of gender or homosexuality, and therefore the church can hold whatever position it wants to, but that's not true. Jesus taught that the first two chapters of Genesis map out God's intention for the sexes. Owen Strahan says, "Jesus holds the view that manhood and womanhood represent core realities of this world. God made the human race this way from the beginning. Marriage depends upon and is made for the two sexes." So Jesus taught in accordance with the first book of the Bible. He taught that marriage consists of a man and a woman, and when joined together, they become one flesh. And Jesus taught that there are two sexes, two genders, male and female. So, men aren't to be married to men. Women aren't to be married to women. That's a subject we're going to take up in this series. And men can't become women, and women can't become men. That's what Jesus said. And if we're followers of Jesus, His word is law. This swapping and changing our sexuality is an abomination unto God. Did you know the law of God, Deuteronomy chapter 22, speaks about the sin of cross-dressing? Men dressing as women, women dressing as men. And that's what's taking place in the transgender movement. It's an abomination unto God. And we as Christians must be careful that we do not blur the sexes. Men ought to dress distinctively as a man. Women ought to dress distinctively as a woman. And when we blur God's design, then that's wrong. We should be what God created us to be. Created us a man, let's be a man and not ashamed of masculinity. If He created you a woman, don't be ashamed of it. And embrace femininity and teach that to your children. It's time that Christian parents teach their children proper masculinity and proper femininity. Because we honor God if we live according to His design. So we must maintain a gender identity that aligns with our biological sex. There are no other options. There are, if we're going to use the word genders, there are two genders, not three, not four, not five, not more. And so we must live in the terms laid down long ago. Genesis, the Gospel of Matthew, and we must not sin against God by denying or trying to change the divine design. So we as Christians believe there are only two sexes, male and female, two genders. Nature confirms this. It's a beautiful argument to make just with nature without considering a verse of Scripture. And it's an argument that can easily be made. But we consider the Scriptures. That's our concern. And the Scripture says God created us, male and female. So our personal self-identification has no bearing on biological facts. Transgenderism is just a new term for an old sin. Men dressing like women, women dressing like men. I look back on some of the banquets I attended as a young Christian and remember some men dressing up as women and coming in, prancing around. Maybe you saw that in churches before too. And we all thought it was funny then. But that's never funny when a man puts on woman's clothes. Maybe Barney Fife can get away with that when he's in disguise as a police officer and going to try to stop somebody. But that ought not ever be. But lots of people are following their feelings as they're watered down by the sexual deviancies of the world. We're to follow the Word of God. We're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ because our personal identity is bound up in Him. So don't listen to the LGBTQ+ movement. Listen to God. He has spoken in His Word. And don't be ashamed to take people to Genesis 1:27. Don't be ashamed to take people to Matthew 19, verse 4, and say there are only two sexes. First book of the Bible says that. Jesus affirmed that. Our world view must be based on Scripture. And if it isn't, well, we'll just flow with the tide. Whatever's popular now, we'll follow that. it changes, we'll go wherever it changes. No, we are to stand firm on the Word of God. Now, our purpose isn't to abuse people who are confused about their gender. Our aim is to speak the truth to them and to speak the truth in love. But we must tell people who are caught up in the sexual revolution, whether it's homosexuality, gender confusion, or whatever it is, that they're in sin. They've embraced a lifestyle that is contrary to God and His will. And they need to repent and believe in Christ, or else they will spend eternity in hell. But we give them hope. There is salvation for all. No matter what they've done, no matter what they, who they think they are, there's hope in Jesus Christ. I think there is a place for righteous indignation. And if there's ever a place for it, it would be suited for what's happening in our culture on this issue. But I'm always afraid that my righteous indignation is not real righteous indignation. It's more of my flesh. And I hope I can tell people the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, with tears and compassion and love. So let's embrace that. But sometimes we can talk about love and never confront sin. And that's wishy-washy. We want love, but love that holds the truth. May it be so of us. Father, thank you for your word. It is clear. It is plain. We can't get around that. We wonder how our culture got so perverse. But when people begin to reject God and dismiss Him out of the public square and every place else, it is no wonder that people will take up these strange, deviant manifestations of depravity. And so help us in this day and age. We're going to be confronted with it. We're already confronted with it everywhere we go with the homosexual issue. But we're going to be confronted with this too. Men who say they're women, women who say they're men. Oh, we plead for you to send a great awakening in our nation. So may we be much in prayer and faithful and bold in our witness. We pray these things as we consider especially our young people who may be more tempted in these ways than the adults. Lord, protect them. Give them a mind to see how evil this is. It's so easy to say, but they're my friend and I'm going to accept them. Oh, but a friend speaks the truth. And so help our young people to be clear on this matter, not go that way themselves, not comfort any friends who do. We pray these things in Jesus' name.